Chapter 11.
"Oh, no," Aunt Josephine said.
The children paid no attention. The worst of Hurricane Herman was over, and as the Baudelaire sailed across the dark lake, there seemed to be very little danger. Violet moved the sail around with ease now that the wind was calm. Klaus looked back at the lavender light of the lighthouse and confidently guided the way back to Damocles' dock. And Sunny moved the tiller as if she had been a tiller mover all her life. Only Aunt Josephine was scared. She was wearing two life jackets instead of one, and every few seconds she cried, "Oh, no!" even though nothing frightening was happening.
"Oh, no," Aunt Josephine said, "and I mean it this time."
"What's wrong, Aunt Josephine?" Violet said tiredly. The sailboat had reached the approximate middle of the lake. The water was still fairly calm, and the lighthouse still glowed, a pinpoint of pale purple light. There seemed to be no cause for alarm.
"We're about to enter the territory of the lacrimose leeches," Aunt Josephine said.
"I'm sure we'll pass through safely," Klaus said, peering through the spying glass to see if Damocles' dock was visible yet.
"You told us that the leeches were harmless and only preyed on small fish."
"Unless you've eaten recently," Aunt Josephine said.
"But it's been hours since we've eaten," Violet said soothingly.
"The last thing we ate were peppermints at the Anxious Clown. That was in the afternoon, and now it's the middle of the night."
Aunt Josephine looked down and moved away from the side of the boat.
"But I ate a banana," she whispered, "just before you arrived."
"Oh, no," Violet said.
Sunny stopped moving the tiller and looked worriedly into the water. "I'm sure there's nothing to worry about," Klaus said. "Leeches are very small animals. If we were in the water, we might have a reason to fear, but I don't think they'd attack a sailboat. Plus, Hurricane Herman may have frightened them away from their territory. I bet the lacrimose leeches won't even show up."
Klaus thought he was done speaking for the moment, but in the moment that followed, he added one more sentence. The sentence was, "Speak of the devil," and it is an expression that you use when you are talking about something only to have it occur. For instance, if you were at a picnic and said, "I hope it doesn't snow," and at that very minute a blizzard began, you could say, "Speak of the devil," before gathering up your blanket and potato salad and driving away to a good restaurant. But in the case of the Baudelaire orphans, I'm sure you can guess what happened to prompt Klaus to use this expression.
"Speak of the devil," Klaus said, looking into the waters of the lake. Out of the swirling blackness came skinny, rising shapes, barely visible in the moonlight. The shapes were scarcely longer than a finger, and at first it looked as if someone were swimming in the lake and drumming their fingers on the surface of the water. But most people have only 10 fingers, and in the few minutes that followed, there were hundreds of these tiny shapes, wriggling hungrily from all sides toward the sailboat. The lacrimose leeches made a quiet, whispering sound on the water as they swam, as if the Baudelaire orphans were surrounded by people murmuring terrible secrets. The children watched in silence as the swarm approached the boat, each leech knocking lightly against the wood. Their tiny leech mouths puckered in disappointment as they tried to taste the sailboat. Leeches are blind, but they aren't stupid, and the lacrimose leeches knew that they were not eating a banana.
"You see," Klaus said nervously, as the tapping of leech mouths continued, "we're perfectly safe."
"Yes," Violet said. She wasn't sure they were perfectly safe, not at all, but it seemed best to tell Aunt Josephine they were perfectly safe. "We're perfectly safe," she said. The tapping sound continued, getting a little rougher and louder. Frustration is an interesting emotional state because it tends to bring out the worst in whoever is frustrated. Frustrated babies tend to throw food and make a mess. Frustrated citizens tend to execute kings and queens and make a democracy. And frustrated moths tend to bang up against light bulbs and make light fixtures all dusty. But unlike babies, citizens, and moths, leeches are quite unpleasant to begin with. Now that the lacrimose leeches were getting frustrated, everyone on board the sailboat was quite anxious to see what would happen when frustration brought out the worst in leeches. For a while,
The small creatures tried and tried to eat the wood, but their tiny teeth didn't really do anything but make an unpleasant knocking sound. But then, all at once, the leeches knocked off, and the Baudelaires watched them wriggle away from the sailboat. "They're leaving," Klaus said hopefully, but they weren't leaving. When the leeches had reached a considerable distance, they suddenly swiveled their tiny bodies around and came rushing back to the boat. With a loud thwack, the leeches all hit the boat more or less at once, and the sailboat rocked precariously, a word which here means, in a way which almost threw Aunt Josephine and the Baudelaire youngsters to their doom. The four passengers were rocked to and fro and almost fell into the waters of the lake, where the leeches were wriggling away again to prepare for another attack.
"Yadek!"
Sunny shrieked and pointed at the side of the boat. Yadek, of course, is not grammatically correct English, but even Aunt Josephine understood that the youngest Baudelaire meant, "Look at the crack in the boat that the leeches have made." The crack was a tiny one, about as long as a pencil and about as wide as a human hair, and it was curved downward, so it looked as if the sailboat were frowning at them. If the leeches kept hitting the side of the boat, the frown would only get wider. "We have to sail much faster," Klaus said, "or this boat will be in pieces in no time." "But sailing relies on the wind," Violet pointed out. "We can't make the wind go faster."
"I'm frightened," Aunt Josephine cried. "Please don't throw me overboard."
"Nobody's going to throw you overboard," Violet said impatiently, although I'm sorry to tell you that Violet was wrong about that. "Take an oar, Aunt Josephine. Klaus, take the other one. If we use the sail, the tiller, and the oars, we should move more quickly."
Thwack!
The lachrymose leeches hit the side of the boat, widening the crack in the side and rocking the boat again. One of the leeches was thrown over the side in the impact and twisted this way and that on the floor of the boat, gnashing its tiny teeth as it looked for food. Grimacing, Klaus walked cautiously over to it and tried to kick the leech overboard, but it clung onto his shoe and began gnawing through the leather. With a cry of disgust, Klaus shook his leg and the leech fell to the floor of the sailboat again, stretching its tiny neck and opening and shutting its mouth. Violet grabbed the long pole with the net at the end of it, scooped up the leech, and tossed it overboard.
Thwack!
The crack widened enough that a bit of water began to dribble through, making a small puddle on the sailboat's floor. "Sunny," Violet said, "keep an eye on that puddle. When it gets bigger, use the bucket to throw it back in the lake."
"Mophie!"
Sunny shrieked, which meant, "I certainly will." There was the whispering sound as the leeches began to swim away to ram the boat again. Klaus and Aunt Josephine began rowing as hard as they could, while Violet adjusted the sail and kept the net in her hand for any more leeches who got on board.
Thwack! Thwack!
There were two loud noises now, one on the side of the boat and one on the bottom, which cracked immediately. The leeches had divided up into two teams, which is good news for playing kickball, but bad news if you are being attacked. Aunt Josephine gave a shriek of terror. Water was now leaking into the sailboat in two spots, and Sunny abandoned the tiller to bail the water back out. Klaus stopped rowing and held the oar up without a word. It had several small bite marks in it, the work of the lachrymose leeches. "Rowing isn't going to work," he reported to Violet solemnly. "If we row any more, these oars will be completely eaten." Violet watched Sunny crawl around with a bucket full of water. "Rowing won't help us anyway," she said. "This boat is sinking. We need help." Klaus looked around at the dark and still waters, empty except for the sailboat and swarms of leeches. "Where can we get help in the middle of a lake?" he asked. "We're going to have to signal for help," Violet said, and reached into her pocket and took out a ribbon. Handing Klaus the fishing net, she used the ribbon to tie her hair up, keeping it out of her eyes. Klaus and Sunny watched her, knowing that she only tied her hair up this way when she was thinking of an invention, and right now they needed an invention quite desperately.
"That's right," Aunt Josephine said to Violet. "Close your eyes. That's what I do when I'm afraid, and it always makes me feel better to block out the fear."
"She's not blocking out anything," Klaus said crossly. "She's concentrating." Klaus was right. Violet concentrated as hard as she could, racking her brain for a good way to signal for help. She thought of fire alarms. With flashing lights and loud sirens, fire alarms were an excellent way to signal for assistance. Although the Baudelaire orphans, of course, sadly knew that sometimes the fire engines arrived too late to save people's lives, a fire alarm was still a good invention, and Violet tried to think of a way she could imitate it using the materials around her. She needed to make a loud sound to get somebody's attention, and she needed to make a bright light so that person would know where they were.
Thwack! Thwack!
The two teams of leeches hit the boat again, and there was a splash as more water came pouring into the sailboat. Sunny started to fill the bucket up with water, but Violet reached forward and took it from Sunny's hands.
Barrow? Sunny shrieked, which meant, are you crazy?
But Violet had no time to answer, no, as a matter of fact, I'm not. So she merely said, no, and, holding the bucket in one hand, began to climb up the mast. It is difficult enough to climb up the mast of a boat, but it is triple the difficulty if the boat is being rocked by a bunch of hungry leeches. So allow me to advise you that this is another thing that you should under no circumstances try to do. But Violet Baudelaire was a Wunderkind, a German word which here means someone who was able to quickly climb masts on boats being attacked by leeches, and soon she was on top of the swaying mast of the boat. She took the bucket and hung it by its handle on the tip of the mast so it swung this way and that, the way a bell might do in a bell tower.
I don't mean to interrupt you, Klaus called, scooping up a furious leech in the net and tossing it as far as he could. But this boat is really sinking. Please hurry.
Violet hurried. Hurriedly, she grabbed a hold of a corner of the sail and, taking a deep breath to prepare herself, jumped back down to the floor of the boat. Just as she had hoped, the sail ripped as she hurtled to the ground, slowing her down and leaving her with a large piece of torn cloth. By now the sailboat had quite a lot of water in it, and Violet splashed over to Aunt Josephine, avoiding the many leeches that Klaus was tossing out of the boat as quickly as he could.
I need your oar, Violet said, wadding the piece of sail up into a ball, and your hairnet.
You can have the oar, Aunt Josephine said, handing it over, but I need my hairnet. It keeps my bun in place.
Give her the hairnet, Klaus cried, hopping up on one of the seats as a leech tried to bite his knee.
But I'm scared of having hair in my face, Aunt Josephine whined, just as another pair of thwacks hit the boat.
I don't have time to argue with you, Violet cried. I'm trying to save each of our lives. Give me your hairnet right now.
The expression, Aunt Josephine said, is saving all of our lives, not each of our lives. But Violet had heard enough.
Splashing forward and avoiding a pair of wriggling leeches, the eldest Baudelaire reached forward and grabbed Aunt Josephine's hairnet off her head. She wrapped the crumpled part of the sail in the hairnet and then grabbed the fishing pole and attached the messy ball of cloth to the fish hook. It looked like she was about to go fishing for some kind of fish that liked sailboats and hair accessories for food.
Thwack! Thwack!
The sailboat tilted to one side and then to the other. The leeches had almost smashed their way through the side. Violet took the oar and began to rub it up and down the side of the boat as fast and hard as she could.
"What are you doing?" Klaus asked, catching three leeches in one swoop of his net.
"I'm trying to create friction," Violet said. "If I rub two pieces of wood enough, I'll create friction. Friction creates sparks. When I get a spark, I'll set the cloth and hairnet on fire and use it as a signal."
You want to set a fire? Klaus cried. But a fire will mean more danger.
Not if I wave the fire over my head using the fishing pole, Violet said. I'll do that and hit the bucket like a bell, and that should create enough of a signal to fetch us some help.
She rubbed and rubbed the oar against the side of the boat, but no sparks appeared. The sad truth was that the wood was too wet from Hurricane Herman and from Lake Lachrymose to create enough friction to start a fire. It was a good idea. But Violet realized, as she rubbed and rubbed without any result, that it was the wrong idea.
Thwack! Thwack!
Violet looked around at Aunt Josephine and her terrified siblings and felt hope leak out of her heart as quickly as water was leaking into the boat.
It's not working, Violet said miserably, and felt tears fall down her cheeks.
She thought of the promise she made to her parents, shortly before they were killed, that she would always take care of her younger siblings. The leeches swarmed around the sinking boat, and Violet feared that she had not lived up to her promise.
It's not working, she said again, and dropped her oar in despair. We need a fire, but I can't invent one.
It's okay,
Klaus said, even though, of course, it was not. We'll think of something.
Tintat, Sunny said, which meant something along the lines of, don't cry, you tried your best.
But Violet cried anyway. It is very easy to say that the important thing is to try your best, but if you are in real trouble, the most important thing is not trying your best, but getting to safety. The boat rocked back and forth, and water poured through the cracks, and Violet cried because it looked like they would never get to safety. Her shoulders shaking with sobs, she held the spyglass up to her eye to see if, by any chance, there was a boat nearby, or if the tide had happened to carry the sailboat to shore, but all she could see was the moonlight reflecting on the rippling waters of the lake. And this was a lucky thing, because as soon as Violet saw the flickering reflection, she remembered the scientific principles of the convergence and refraction of light. The scientific principles of the convergence and refraction of light are very confusing, and quite frankly, I can't make head or tail of them, even when my friend Dr. Lorenz explains them to me. But they made perfect sense to Violet. Instantly, she thought of a story her father had told her long ago when she was just beginning to be interested in science. When her father was a boy, he'd had a dreadful cousin who liked to burn ants, starting a fire by focusing the light of the sun with her magnifying glass. Burning ants, of course, is an abhorrent hobby. The word abhorrent here means what Count Olaf used to do when he was about your age. But remembering the story made Violet see that she could use the lens of the spying glass to focus the light of the moon and make a fire. Without wasting another moment, she grabbed the spying glass and removed the lens, and then, looking up at the moon, tilted the lens at an angle she hastily computed in her head. The moonlight passed through the lens and was concentrated into a long, thin band of light, like a glowing thread leading right to the piece of sail held in a ball by Aunt Josephine's hairnet. In a moment, the thread had become a small flame.
"It's miraculous!" Klaus cried as the flame took hold.
"It's unbelievable!"
Aunt Josephine cried.
"Fonty!"
Sunny shrieked.
"It's the scientific principles of the convergence and refraction of light!"
Violet cried, wiping her eyes. Stepping carefully to avoid onboard leeches and so as not to put out the fire, she moved to the front of the boat. With one hand, she took the oar and rang the bucket, making a loud sound to get somebody's attention. With the other hand, she held the fishing rod up high, making a bright light so the person would know where they were. Violet looked up at her homemade signaling device that had finally caught fire, all because of a silly story her father had told her. Her father's ant-burning cousin sounded like a dreadful person, but if she had suddenly appeared on the sailboat, Violet would have given her a big grateful hug. As it turned out, however, this signal was a mixed blessing, a phrase which means something half good and half bad. Somebody saw the signal almost immediately, somebody who was already sailing in the lake, and who headed toward the Baudelaires in an instant. Violet, Klaus, Sunny, and even Aunt Josephine all grinned as they saw another boat sail into view. They were being rescued, and that was the good half. But their smiles began to fade as the boat drew closer and they saw who was sailing it. Aunt Josephine and the orphans saw the wooden peg leg and the navy blue sailor cap and the eye patch, and they knew who was coming to their aid. It was Captain Sham, of course, and he was probably the worst half in the world.